We'll carry on there in Psalm 34. It's interesting because Greg texted Jason and I yesterday and said, hey, I'm sharing for the kids and I have some other things on Psalm 34 I'd like to share. And I had been reading Psalm 34 yesterday morning. So Jason texted me and said, could you carry on? I said, well, happens I could because I've been reading Psalm 34. So the reason I was reading it, though, was just thinking about the fear of the Lord. And we talked a little bit about it Friday night. I wanted to carry on. I think it's so interesting. And Greg talked a lot about this, of just having this picture of our loving Heavenly Father. And then not having this image of a father that's waiting to just strike you. Anytime you make a mistake, I'm there to strike you. And so it's interesting when you think of the fear of the Lord, it is really impossible, I believe, to know the Lord rightly and to know the Lord without a fear of the Lord. But you have to have a correct understanding of what that means to have a fear of the Lord. Because some people have this image of God and the Heavenly Father as this disciplinarian, and that's all really he is. They would say all the right things, and they would say that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, but they miss looking at what Jesus Christ was like when he walked this earth. So anyway, I want to talk about the fear of the Lord, and I hope, if nothing else, it gets you thinking about this and maybe something that you can continue to search out. To me, it is so interesting, even just on this, when the verses Greg was reading, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. Taste and see how good he is. Fear him. Two verses back to back. To see, to be able, David had this. This is the Spirit speaking through David that David could say, by the Spirit, God is good. Taste and see how good he is. And saints, fear him at the same time. Fear him at the same time. For to those who fear him, you're not going to lack anything. There is no want when you walk in the fear of the Lord. To someone who sees God as a disciplinarian only, it will not, you won't be able to put all that together. Taste and see how good he is. And when you walk in the fear of him, you will not lack anything. It's so challenging to understand. So let's look at a few passages. And hopefully, as we do it this morning, like I say, I'm not sure I can fully articulate it all, but I want to go through it, and it'll stir you up. I think one interesting one, and let's look at it, and just, we'll talk about it. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll just look at a few passages. I'm sensitive of time. We've got a few minutes still that we can look at this. So Isaiah chapter 6. If I were honest, I have found in my walk with the Lord that reading the prophets is a wonderful way to get a good fear of the Lord, but in a right way. And I can explain that a little bit. So Isaiah and Jeremiah they're all great. But Isaiah and Jeremiah are probably the two that I've spent the most time looking at. And I was reading again in Jeremiah. And you can see the heart of God. So let's look at this. This is like a little bit of Isaiah's testimony. Starting in verse 1, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew out to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. What was the seraphim calling out? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And what's the reaction to everything that Isaiah has seen? He says, woe is me, I am ruined. Because why? I'm a man of unclean lips. What feeds the lips? Unclean lips are a reflection of what? An unclean heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So you see this, Isaiah sees the Lord in all of his holiness, and he has this revelation. He sees the seraphim calling out, holy, holy, holy. And he just says, I'm ruined. I cannot stand, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he sees this, he has a revelation of God's holiness, and he says, I'm done. And what's God's response to that? You're not done. You're forgiven. Right? Takes this coal from the fire, and he puts it on his lips, and he says, your sins, your iniquity is taken away, your sin is forgiven. And there you see almost this foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. The difference here is his sin is forgiven, but doesn't have the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so you think of the fear of the Lord here. I look at this. I mean, there's so many examples in Exodus chapter 20. There's a time Moses is about to go up onto the Mount Sinai, and God comes in thunder and everything. And the people say, all the people perceive the thunder and lightning. This is 20, verse 18 to 20. You don't have to flip there if you don't want. But and just a couple of verses. And the lightning flashes and the sounds of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it and they trembled and stood at a distance. And they cried out to Moses. So they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen. But let not God speak to us or we'll die. Same kind of a revelation that Isaiah is having. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. For God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you, that you may not sin. So they have this incredibly intense, could you imagine? You're standing there, and on top of a mountain, just surrounded with smoke and lightning and fire and everything, and you're just like, just terror, terror. And then he says, God is allowing this to produce the fear of you in him so that you won't sin. And I just think of my own journey with the Lord. We were talking about Friday night. We were talking about what is the characteristics of a disciple of Christ. And so we started, we just put him on the, we had a little sheet up on this on the screen. And we were just writing down things that people said. It was awesome to hear all the different things that people had been looking at. And as we were doing it, I was kind of controlling it. I rightly or wrongly started to try and order them a little bit. And at the end, it was Jason said, you know, we haven't talked about the fear of the Lord, that a disciple of Christ has a fear of the Lord. And so what got me turning was, because I had thrown out, well, faith. A characteristic of a disciple of Christ is faith. So the question I had in my mind, I was thinking about, well, what comes first? And I believe in my heart, and why there's such a value in the fear of the Lord is that a fear of the Lord, without a fear of the Lord, recognizing, woe is me, I am ruined, that I serve this holy God, you have no need of a Savior. But when you come to this revelation that you're a sinner and that you will stand before a God that says, they say, holy, 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 all of a sudden you realize, I need a Savior. And then as Greg said, you can begin to get this revelation of the goodness of our Heavenly Father because he sent a Savior. He sent his only Son. And then when we taste and see how good he is, and it says, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. No, I came to save the world. And the challenge is, if all we have, how many believers are there today that start their journey, actually start it without a fear of the Lord? They just hear about the grace of God And this is why it warns in the New Testament about people who turn the grace of God into a license for sin. I believe because perhaps they never saw that we serve a holy God. And that if you go on, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, 26, it says, if you go on sinning willfully, intentionally, you know it's sin. God's revealed it to you, whatever it is, that it's sin. And yet you continue to walk in it. It says that, in fact, there is no sacrifice for that sin. Jesus, it's interesting. I'm going to say this. You'll think I'm a heretic. Jesus didn't die to cover sins you're not willing to turn from. Right? That's what it means when it says, if you go on sinning willfully, knowingly, you know it's wrong. You've been convicted of it. You read it in the Word of God, whatever. You know it's wrong and you say, I'm not willing to turn away. Then Jesus says, well, until you repent and are willing to turn, that sin is not forgiven. There no longer remains a sacrifice, it says, for that sin. But he is, so is that this God waiting to, no. What is he longing for? He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you. He's sitting there, he's waiting. All heaven rejoices when one sinner repents, sees they're a sinner in that, but that will stand before a holy God. Let me read you a few verses that are like, when you walk in the fear of the Lord. It says in Proverbs 14, 26, 27, it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. It's such an opposite picture of this Heavenly Father who's waiting to get you when you stumble. But rather, it says you can actually have a strong confidence. Why? Why do you have a strong confidence? Because God has put a fear of you in his heart, especially as a believer living in the new covenant. Because you think of this, you come to this revelation that he's holy and I'm not. If I were to summarize my testimony, that would probably be it. So many years, I'll tell you the standard I measured myself against. Everybody else that was around me. That was my standard. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. That was my standard, and I would justify my life, even though I was living in sin. Until finally, by the mercy of God, it came to a revelation. I had the wrong standard. Can't go on comparing ourselves among ourselves. All of a sudden, you come to a revelation. The standard is this holy God, and that I've fallen short of that glory. And when you come to that revelation, you come to the revelation, woe is me. I'm ruined. I've been deceiving myself for all these years, thinking somehow I'm okay. And I'm not. But then, all of a sudden, you get this other revelation of this treasure hidden in a field that Jesus Christ came and gave his life. This is where all of a sudden Jesus Christ becomes to you so incredibly precious. So incredibly precious that it's a treasure. And you would sell everything you have to buy that field and have that treasure. Because you've come to this right understanding that you've fallen short of the glory of God. But this Heavenly Father, who is holy, 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 is love everlasting. He's merciful. He's compassionate. And he longs to see people reconciled to him. And so he sent his only son to do that. So then you have this fear of the Lord that actually leads you to life through Jesus Christ. And you're not only you, but then it says your children will have a refuge. And it keeps you from the snares of death. This is why it says a wise man, what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise man or a wise woman sees evil, and what do? They flee, they hide themselves, they get away. Why? Because they know that the evil brings death. They've had the revelation that the wages of sin is death. I've been there. I don't want to go back there. I've lived that life before, and I am not going back. There's another one in Proverbs 19:23. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied and untouched by evil. Again, why does it lead to life? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The fear of the Lord leads you to the only place you can go. That's why we can say there's no other way to the Father but through him. It leads you to that place because you come to this revelation of how holy he is and how much you need a Savior. I was thinking going back to that one in 14:26 where it says, and his children will have a refuge. I think Noah is such an awesome picture of walking in the fear of the Lord. And the whole story, when you dig beyond the story of the ark, how long did it take him to build the ark? It took him roughly, I think, a lifetime, our lifetime. Their lifetimes were so much longer. But if you look at it, for some reason, I think it was about 100 years, something like that. So God gives him, what is it? It says here in Hebrews 11:7, I'm going to read this one verse. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, or one could say in a fear of the Lord, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He had a fear of the Lord. So when God told him, hey, I'm going to send a flood. You need to build a boat. I'm going to send a flood. And it's going to destroy all these people. The fear of the Lord, he believed. He took God seriously at his word and said, okay. And despite all of the persecution, all of the ridicule, all of the mocking he would have received for building this massive boat in the middle of nowhere near water, he was okay with it because he feared the Lord. And he said, my God has told me this is coming. And the only way that I'll save myself and my family is to do what he's asked. And you think about it in your life, I just picture that that's our lives. In this lifetime, God has warned us about it's not a flood because he said he will never do that again. But he is coming to judge every person, and you'll be judged according to your deeds. Because our deeds are the evidence of whether we believed or not. Right? We are saved by faith. Don't ever lose sight of that. But genuine faith will produce deeds. So he says he's going to come and judge us. And when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we take it seriously. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm serving the Lord. Whether you mock me, whether you hate me, whatever, I'm serving the Lord. And when you try and entice me, the devil speaks through someone or whatever to try and entice us to evil, we see it, we flee, we get away. And people think, you're nuts. It's okay. It's just like Noah said, I'm doing this for myself and for my family. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because I have a fear of the Lord. But I also have this relationship. In the midst of all of this, I think all of us could say our longing for us as a body of believers together is that we could have a wonderful fear of the Lord and a wonderful revelation of how much of a loving Heavenly Father we serve. That's God's desire, just like David had it. Oh, taste and see how good he is. And saints, fear the Lord. When you fear him, there's no want. You have a strong confidence. It leads to life, but you need it. So how do you get it? I'll wrap up here just in the interest of time. But so how do you get the fear of the Lord? Because we know this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's really, I believe, in so many ways, it's the beginning of a journey of walking with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2. We'll go there and we can maybe end here. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1-5. verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. I stop there before we read verse 5. You know what 5 is probably, but you get this picture. This father is encouraging his child to say, just seek the Lord. He is saying, obviously, seek the Lord, treasure my commandments within you, and make your ear attentive to wisdom and understanding. All these things, you're seeking the Lord. A genuine pursuit of the Lord leads you to this, which is in verse 5. Then you will discern. Then you'll have this revelation of the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. That is 100% what happened in my walk with the Lord. Because when I was, before I knew the Lord, I would read my Bible. I went to Christian school. I did all those things. I've shared this many times. But it wasn't a genuine seeking. It was more of a checking the box if I would read my Bible. But when God, he began to really, things began to stir in my life, and I began to become more and more dissatisfied with my life. And I say that in the context of one, more and more having this revelation that I am a sinful man. And two, a revelation that everything that I'm pursuing in hopes of finding life wasn't satisfying. And then I began to seek the Lord. That was the conclusion I came to, was I never, in the first 20-some years of my life, ever had a revelation of the fear of the Lord. I never saw that this was a holy God that will hold, that will judge each person in this world based on their life, their deeds. And when I had a fear of God, it did exactly what the fear of the Lord does. It turns you from sin. And it turns you to Jesus Christ, who is the life, right? You have nowhere else to go, but you come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ becomes to you so incredibly precious. Because in him, you find hope, you find salvation, you find life. Not just forgiveness of sins, but then something else. Like, you just think of the disciples and you think of them walking with Jesus and them seeing the life and seeing the fullness of God, seeing mercy, humility, compassion, and yet seeing no tolerance for sin. Like, that wasn't there, but they saw it all. And then when he began to say to them, I'm going to go, they're so downcast and upset. And he says, no, you don't get it. It's better for you that I go, because if I go, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so when he promises that he's going to send us the Holy Spirit, therein lies the hope. We come to a revelation that we need a Savior. We come to the Savior, and in him we find forgiveness of sins, and we begin to experience his life. But not only that, then he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can actually be changed, be made holy, to be sanctified. It's an incredible thing, but to recognize the beginning of all of that is twofold. It's just having this fear of the Lord, which it is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of all. As I heard in the sermon this week that I listened to, it's the ABCs. It's the very first part, right? But married with that, it's like in Jesus Christ, they saw grace and truth. They saw them both come married together. Before that, they'd only ever known truth, the law, right? And then Jesus comes and they see it come together. And that's what we can have. We can have a fear of the Lord, but this deep, deep understanding of how much our Heavenly Father loves us and the gift he's given us in Jesus Christ and of his Spirit to help us to walk it out. But what a blessing there is in walking. There's such a safety and such a blessing in walking in the fear of the Lord. And we wouldn't lose that. And we get it when we seek for it. When we seek the Lord, then he will give us, we'll come to a revelation of the fear of the Lord.